You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
But before I go there, I want to acknowledge my pops, Deacon Johnny Salters. Amen. It's good to see you. Amen. He is one of the deacons at Oakland, and we just thank God for his presence. A man who is serious about the Word of God, a lover of the people of God, and I'm going to tell you, he can cook up some ribs. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a couple bones. Amen. I want us to draw our attention to the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Very familiar passage of scripture. Beginning at the first verse. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning at the first verse. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, say hold on. Amen. Amen. The 43rd chapter of Isaiah, beginning at the first verse, you should see these words. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. Just for a few moments, I want us to consider five words that could encourage us in the midst of anything that we're going through. And it's just simply this: God will see you through. God will. Somebody in here needed to hear that this morning. You may be going through a little something. We want to remind you that God will see you through. I want to pose a question to us this morning. I want us to consider this question, that if God sat you down and share with you all the suffering that you would experience in this life, how would we respond to him? If God was to show you all the trials and tribulations that you would encounter and experience in this life, would you still trust him anyhow? If God was to sit you down and sit me down and show us the where, the when, the how, the who, all the things that would impact our lives, all the tragedy, all the death, all the calamity, all the heartache, all the heartbreak, all the pain and misery and strife, would we accept his comfort? Being fully aware that there was nothing that we can do about it. You know, the only thing that we can have available to us is the fact that we have to accept his comfort, his peace, and his presence. How many of us will trust God with the most devastating situations that we can experience, knowing that there was nothing that we can do to change it? How would we accept that reality? How would we accept God's consolation and comfort and peace that he offers his children? Well, that is exactly what was prophesied by Isaiah to the southern kingdom of Judah, in the 39th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesies to King Hezekiah in the 5th verse of chapter 39. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. We all know that the book of Isaiah could really be called the gospel according to Isaiah. What makes Isaiah so fascinating to study is that it mirrors the very Bible that we read. You know, the Bible has 66 books. And the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. Do I have a witness in here? We know that the Old Testament of the Bible, we know that it demonstrates the wrath of God against sin. And when you look at and study the book of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 39, demonstrates God's judgment toward his people. Do I have a witness in here? The New Testament of the Bible demonstrates God's grace toward sinners through the finished works of his son, Jesus Christ. Whereas in Isaiah chapters 40 through 66, demonstrates God's love, God's comfort, God's consolation and hope to his people, especially before their Babylonian captivity. Do I have a witness in here? Beginning at the 40th chapter of Isaiah, which could be considered the Messianic consolation, the chapters through 40 through 66 stresses God's deliverance of his people. We see in chapter 40, verse 1, where the Lord says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. In our text this morning, in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, it's a continuation of this prevailing thought of God's comfort and consolation for his people. Don't you know that whatever we face in life, whatever situation that we find ourselves, don't you know that God is available to provide comfort in the midst of our storms? Do I have a witness in here? How do you know that God will see you through? How do we remain confident in our faith that God is indeed with us in every situation or circumstance that we can encounter? Well, there are three things that I want us to grab hold to and adopt in our mindset and in our heart to know that no matter what happens in this life, God will see you through. Yeah. That's some good news right there. Although our text this morning is directly addressing the children of Israel, we must understand this, that this is to us, but not for us. Again, this passage of scripture is to us, but not for us. You see, Isaiah is addressing the children of Israel, and this text specifically speaks to their situation. However, in the Old Testament, there are some principles that you and I can grab a hold of that can encourage us in our time of suffering. That's why 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it is God breathed. And it is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need the whole word. Amen. So here we are in this 43rd chapter of Isaiah. In verse 1, he says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." You know, Reverend Register, I couldn't get past the "but now." That's a conjunction with a function. I couldn't get past the "but now" because the "but now" of this text shows a shift in the immediate context that is located in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, specifically verses 18 through 25, where we see that God is prophesizing their Babylonian captivity. See, the "but now" brings into the account that there's been a shift in time and a shift in circumstances. The "but now" brings relevance to the present moment. It says that my situation was one way before, but now it's different. Y'all don't hear me up in here. It was raining in my life yesterday, but now I can see the clouds roll away. Do I have a witness in here? I don't know what you've been going through, but I like to be around some "but now" folk. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Do I have a witness in here? We need some "but now" Christians. Yeah. "But now" will make you realize that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. But now, my circumstances were one way, but now they are a little bit different. Thank God for the "but now" in your life. Do I have a witness? Yeah. "But now." Yeah. Our text continues and says that, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you." If you and I are going to be confident in knowing that God will see us through, then the first point that I want to make to us this morning is that the failures of our past will not prevent God from carrying out his purposes in our lives. Let me say that again. The failures of our past will not prevent God from carrying out his purposes in our lives, specifically in the present. In other words, let me put it this way. He looks beyond our faults, and he supplies our every need. Do I have a witness in here? You know, there are three words that drew my attention within this first verse. Created, formed, and redeemed. Created, formed, and redeemed. Again, we know that God has pronounced judgment on the nation of Israel because they have sinned and disobeyed his word. However, that did not stop God from providing his comfort and providing hope for his children in the midst of their circumstances. You see, the word created, formed, and redeemed all centers around God and his relationship to his people. Specifically, God is the one who created the nation of Israel, meaning that he chose them. God chose them as he promised in the Abrahamic covenant. Do I have some Bible readers here? Not only did God choose them, but he formed them, meaning that through his divine activity as a potter, He is shaping and molding them into what he wants them to be. Do I have a witness in here? But lastly, he says that he will redeem them. You see, redeem in our text means or speaks to the act of being a kinsman. You see, a kinsman speaks to the activity of buying back a relative's property, which highlights the nature of God's relationship to his people. Yeah, the nation of Israel is going to experience, and they have experienced God in many different ways. They saw with their own eyes that he allowed manna to come from heaven. They saw water that came out of a rock. And yet, with all the things that they saw, they still continue to disobey God. Do I have a witness in here? But we don't have to look to the nation of Israel. We can look at ourselves. How many times have God delivered us and yet we get off the hook? Do I have a witness in here? I know I'm not the only one who's gotten off the hook. Sometimes we are disobedient and we harbor sin in our lives. Yeah, but we do understand and know that even though we harbor sin in our lives, that we are going to experience some trials and tribulations in this life. Our failures, our shortcomings, our disobedience, our downfalls, the sin that takes over our lives will not prevent God from seeing about us. He's not like you and I. His love is unconditional, whereas our love sometimes can be conditional. You know how it is. If you don't speak to me one Sunday, come on in here now. If you don't call my name, if you don't include me in the activity, we like to write people off. But thanks be to God that when we sin and fall short, he doesn't write us off. Yeah. Yeah. By no means. We need to understand that the presence of sin in our lives will break the fellowship with God, but it does not break the relationship with God. Do I have a witness in here? You could think about that with your own children, with our own children. Amen. When your child gets on your last nerve, you may put them on punishment, But you still gonna make sure they gonna have something to eat. You still gonna make sure they got a roof over their head and clothes on their back until they get 18. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You think you're grown. By no means does this give us a license to sin and do our own thing. God is a holy God, and he cannot tolerate nor be in the presence of sin. Yeah, that's why Paul asked the question, you know what the blessed assurance is? Assurance is the fact that even though we sin, even though we fall short, that does not stop God from loving us and providing comfort and peace in the midst of our adversity. That's why Paul asked the question in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? That if God be for us, you do know that God is for you. That's how he's able to see you through. Because God is for you. It doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter who don't like you. It doesn't matter who don't call you. It doesn't matter about none of that. If God is for you, do I have a witness? Who can be against you? And yet in all these things, in verse 37, Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So if we're going to know without of a shadow of a doubt that God is indeed, that God will see us through, not only do we need to understand and know that the failures of our past will not prevent God from carrying out his purpose in our lives, but then secondly, God will always promote the possession of his people. God will always promote the possession of his people. In other words, what I'm simply saying is God has all of us. So specifically in this text, the text says that I have called you by your name. You know, the sweetest sound to a person's ear is their own name. Do I have a witness in here? You know, something special that there's no greater respect that any person that could really receive than to be called by their name. With respect to the children of Israel, God has given them a name which further indicates his ownership. Israel was headed toward captivity, and God was consoling them before they reached that captivity. That captivity will be somewhere between 70 and 80 years by the time that Isaiah said these words. They will be exiled. They would be dispersed all through the world, and yet God will never lose sight of his children. No matter what condition they may be in, no matter what circumstance they may find themselves, God will never lose them. Why? Because he claims them as his own. He says in the text, you are mine. But the same is true for you and I. You see, God has sent his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ, to reconcile man back to God and to redeem us from the auction block of sin. The fact is that every believer and every Christian can declare that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, verily deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. when nothing else could do. Love lifted. Love lifted me. Don't you know that we belong to God? That's why in the 100th number of Psalm, verse 3 said, know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who made us and not we ourselves. Do I have some Bible readers in here? Paul continues on that thought in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. He says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's why the believer should be able to declare and shout that I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you who I am, tell them that I am redeemed. God has bought us with a price. Do I have a witness in here? God loves us in every circumstance, in every situation. His love is available and it is accessible through his word and through the presence of his Holy Spirit that dwells within us. That guarantees that you and I, that the fact that God will see us through. Yeah, so how do we know that God will see us through? First, we must understand that the failures of our past will not prevent God from carrying out his purposes in our lives. Secondly, God will always promote the possession of his people. But lastly, as we get ready to close, God will always perpetuate his presence no matter what circumstances we find ourselves. He will always be present with us no matter what circumstance we find ourselves. Look at verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. In verse 2, God is affirming to his children that he loves whom he loves. He provides comfort and consolation. He provides hope in the midst where there is no hope. God affirms the fact that he will be with them. And he affirms that fact with you and I today. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But it's something unique about this text, because in verse 2, he says when. He didn't say if. He didn't say you might. He said when, which affirms the fact that we are going to go through some things in this life. The Christian life is not necessarily a picnic. The Christian life is a battlefield. But I'm glad today that I could share with you that we serve a God who is able to see us through. Does anybody know what it means to go through? God promises and guarantees that he will be with you and I through the storms, through the rain, through the hurt, through the pain, through when you have it, through when you don't, through when it's big, through when it's little, through when it's over, through when it just starts. God will be with us through. I like to hang around some through Christians. Amen. I like to be around some folk who know what it means to go through something in this life, and that God and how he brought you out to the other side. But the problem is that trials and tribulations that are in our life can overflow in our lives. and make us feel like we're drowning. We're unable to catch our breath. And it seems like we are sinking deeper and deeper in our situation. But one thing I want to share with you, that we are not alone. God will see us through. I like the fact that he talks about water and rivers. You know, water could be a pond or a puddle, but a river can have some rapids that will rush you down. Do I have a witness in here? You know, there is a difference, and I love the fact that, you know what? The songwriter said, look, have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountain that you can't tunnel through? Well, God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other power, but holy power can do. Do I have a witness in here? The songwriter said, listen, I've been through the fire and I've been through the flood. I've been broken in two pieces, seen lightning flashing from above. But through it all, I remember that he loves me and he cares, and that he will never put more on me than I can bear. Kirk Franklin, that song was all right, but I like the hymnologists when they said, listen, I seen the lightning flash, and I heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, which tried to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of my Savior telling me to fight on. He promised never to leave me alone. And the reason I can celebrate that promise is because through 40 and two generations, Jesus came down, healed the sick, provided sight for the blind. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They hung him on the old rugged cross. He hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour. They thought he said that he was finished when he said that it was finished. Jesus died upon that cross, buried in the borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. He declared that all the power in heaven and earth is in my hand. And that power that is in Jesus' hand gives us the comfort and the consolation to know that God will see us through. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.